Amen. I want to look this morning at something that's vital for us as Christians in our lives, if we're going to remain faithful until the end, and that is having integrity. We serve a God who is a God of truth. God is a God in whom there is no lie. His yes is yes, his no is no. He's an integrous God. God can be trusted this morning. He doesn't lie. He's faithful to his word. And that's good news for us, because it means that we can rely on God and his word. Yes. His promises are true. His word can be trusted. Our hope in him is sure and steadfast, because he is a God who is truth. In the book of Revelations, his name is Faithful and True. And as God's dear children, we too are called to reflect that same integrity in our lives. God is forming in us as believers the image of Christ. We are being transformed. The scripture says, "To be ye holy, for I am holy, says the Lord." And God wants his people to be a people of integrity, a people who are true to their word, a people who are faithful and true. There used to be a saying, didn't there, "My word is my bond." And that means that what you say can actually be trusted and relied upon. People in whom there is no guile or deceit. Now, integrity is a rare quality in this day and age in which we live. How many times do we see people, celebrities, stars, politicians and presidents, and God forbid, men of God, supposedly, that we look up to as examples, failing and falling into compromise, corruption and sin? But God's called us as his people to be a different people. He's called us to be a righteous people, a people who have integrity. The word integrity means wholeness. And it comes from a Hebrew word, tome, which means completeness, innocence, simplicity. A person of integrity is a whole person. A person whom the Bible says, in whom there is no guile, or deceit, or duplicity. To have integrity is to be of an honest heart. A person whose motives are simple. A person who doesn't say one thing and mean another. A person of principle and righteousness, who doesn't sell out for selfish gain or convenience. Integrity is the difference between obeying God or pleasing men, between doing what's right or doing what's convenient. It's a heart issue. How do we respond when we're confronted with those choices between the right path and the wrong path, or the easy path? That's determining whether or not we have integrity in us or not. Now, God is pleased with integrity. God wants a people who are integrous, who can be relied upon to do what is right, who will respond to truth, who won't live with a lie, but will desire truth. God is more concerned this morning with men's hearts and their motives than with any outward show that we may put on. God wants a people who love him with all their heart. And scripture tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God wants the whole of us, doesn't he? Not just part of us. Now, in the scripture, there's a great example of a man of integrity, and that was Job. So much so that God said of him in Job chapter 1 and verse 8, "There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God," and in Old English here, "escheweth evil," means spits out evil. God knew that he could rely on Job. He knew that Job would not sell out. And he allowed Job to go through very severe testing, as we know, because he knew that Job would hold on to his integrity. And in Job 27 and verse 5, he says there, till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me." Job understood that keeping his integrity with God was more important than life itself. He was tested from all sides, but he didn't give up his integrity. He refused to curse God. Job 13:15 says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. but I will maintain my own ways before him. Here was a man who feared God, a man who refused to let go of his righteousness, who refused to sell out. He had his eyes on God and he kept his integrity. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And in Job, back to Job 28 and verse 28, it says, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Do you want understanding this morning? Well, we need to depart from evil and to fear the Lord. And if we're going to be a people of integrity, we need to be a people who fear God. The fear of God is what will keep us safe. The fear of God is a healthy fear. God is a God to be feared. It preserves us. When we fear God, when we understand that God is God, that we serve a holy and an awesome and almighty God, and that we'll make the right decisions, that we'll serve God and please him rather than men. We need to keep our reverence towards God. Keeping our integrity needs to be our priority as believers. Satan wants us to compromise this morning, to give in to temptation, to quit. We all get tempted, every one of us. All kinds of pressures come against us daily. We get weary, we get tired. We all have weak areas that Satan targets. What the devil wants is for us to give up our integrity. He wants to destroy our relationship with God. And one thing that can be guaranteed is if you want to live for God and do what is right and live righteously, you will be tested. You will be tempted. You will face attack and opposition. You will be put to the test. And God allows us to be tested because he wants genuine faith. He wants a people that will obey him. What God doesn't want is fair weather Christians who only obey him when it's convenient or when the blessings are flowing or when it's easy or when all is going well. But he wants a people who will serve him no matter what. Job said, "Even though he slay me, yet will I trust him." He was willing to serve God even if God was going to kill him. He wasn't serving God for what he could get from God or because God had made him prosperous, and he was prosperous in his life. But he was serving God for who God was. And God tested that quality in Job, and Job passed that test. God doesn't want a people who only serve him just for the blessings. We live in the age of bless me Christianity, where everything revolves around self. But God wants a people who love him for who he is, who serve him because he's God. Many people followed Jesus just for the food, didn't they? Just for the blessings. I think John, if I can just turn there, John 6:26. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." Many Christians serve God just for the blessings, don't they? The problem is, if we are serving God just for the blessings, or for the feel-good factor, or then when things do get difficult, as the scripture says, when the storms of life begin to blow, when the testings come our way, we'll realise that we built our life on the wrong foundation. Think of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Here's a people who refused to worship the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. We'll just read that. "Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.'" These were men of integrity. These were men that were willing to serve God, even if God didn't deliver them from the fiery furnace. They were prepared to die. They truly were men of no compromise. And it was a powerful testimony to King Nebuchadnezzar. When he saw that the fire didn't harm them, and there was a fourth man, remember, standing in the flames at the appearance of the Son of God, he realized that they served the true God. And he honored them after this. Daniel 3, verse 28 says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. See, King Nebuchadnezzar witnessed the power of God demonstrated, and it was because of these men's integrity. Because he saw that these men were willing to pay whatever price to serve their God, and he honoured them. And if we're going to be a light and an example in this world, we need to be a people of no compromise, of integrity. And that is what speaks to people when they see that you're serious about serving God. Sometimes it feels like people are just waiting for you to trip up or to give up. But when they see that you're still serving God year after year, living righteously, refusing to compromise, that's a powerful testimony to them of the power of God. They know that something must be real. You know, lukewarmness and compromise just puts people off the gospel, doesn't it? Imagine if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had just said, "Oh well, we don't want to get burnt in the fire. Let's just appease the king. Let's save our necks. Let's just bow down to this image so that we can save our skin." Not only would they have sinned against God, but Nebuchadnezzar may never have experienced that revelation of God's power. See, what we do or we don't do, the choices we make will always affect others. It'll either have a positive or a negative impact. But we're called to be living epistles. We're called to be examples. And that's how people will know that we're Christ, by the fruit that they see in our lives. Our integrity will be tested. God wants to purify us and strengthen us in the faith. He allows us to be tested. And when we are tested, it exposes where we're at, doesn't it? Sometimes, sadly, we do fail the test. But what is more important is how do we respond if we do fail? Having integrity this morning isn't being perfect. Doesn't mean that we don't make any mistakes or we never make a wrong choice. But if our heart is right, how we respond when we fail will determine our integrity. See, a right heart will shun evil. A right heart will cry out in repentance when sin is exposed. A right heart desires to be clean and pure. As it says in Psalm 51 that we were reading last week, "Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me." That's the cry of a right heart. Because we love God, because we don't want anything in our life that would spoil our precious relationship with our Heavenly Father. Christians often feel like failures when they discover that there's some sin in their lives. But the very fact that it bothers them is a good thing, because God's dealing with them so that they can change. The goodness of God, it says, leads us to repentance. It's a good sign when you're convicted. God doesn't do it to condemn you, but to convict you so that you can change. We read in the scripture about David. David was a man after God's own heart. David had integrity of heart with God. Yet, did he not fail many times? He was guilty of murder, adultery. But God saw a quality in his heart that pleased him. He had a heart that was integrous. When David sinned with Bathsheba, he fell into hypocrisy. He tried to get her husband killed so that he could have her as his wife. because she was pregnant with his child. He tried to cover up his sin. He was living a lie. He'd compromised his integrity. He was living this duplicitous lie, but God didn't allow him to remain in that hypocrisy. And God sent the prophet and confronted David with the truth. And David came to his senses and said, I've sinned. He didn't run from the truth when he was confronted, but he faced up to what he'd done and repented, and God restored his integrity. He cried out in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. What David was asking God to do was to restore his integrity, to make his heart whole again. Thank God that God doesn't give up on us when we do fail. Thank God he doesn't allow us to remain in hypocrisy, but he gives us an opportunity to repent and to find restoration. The best of men are men at best. All of us can fail, but what's important is how do we respond when we're confronted with truth. If our heart is right, we'll face up to that truth and we'll respond in a right way. And it is this morning all about that heart attitude towards God, desiring to do what is right, responding to truth, seeking God with all our heart. We fail when we take our eyes off God. We fail when we just put our eyes on our circumstances. We fail when we don't seek God in our decisions. We fail when we listen to our own wisdom instead of God's. We fail when we close our heart to God and follow a path of least resistance in our lives. But if we keep our eyes upon him and we keep our hearts right before him, then we won't fail. When the tests come, as they will, we'll pass the test. We'll keep our integrity. Secondly, this morning, we need to maintain our integrity. Job 27:5 says, till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. This is something to be kept for life. This is something to be maintained before God, not to let it slip. We can't rely on yesterday's victories, old acts of righteousness, or even what we did yesterday, or even this morning, but we need to be walking in righteousness today and every day. As Alan was preaching a couple of weeks ago, we need fruit that remains. We're called to pick up the cross daily. It's not how we begin the race that counts, is it? But it's how we end. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. We've been given, you and I, the gift of righteousness by God through his grace. It was imputed to us when we got saved. But we have to maintain that righteousness before God. We have to continue to abide in him, continue to obey him. Every day, you and I, we face choices and decisions. From the smallest choices to the biggest choices, our integrity is put to the test. And that's why we need that close relationship with God, to maintain our relationship with him, so that we'll make the right choices when we abide in him, when we remain in his will. He hedges us in. He shows us the right way to go. You know, if we're really honest with ourselves, most of the time, if we make a wrong choice, it's not because we didn't know what was right. It's usually because we chose to ignore it and listen to our own wisdom or folly, as it really is, or our own selfish desires. Our hearts are so fickle. They're so easily deceived, so easily led astray. Our motives are so often tainted with self-interest. But if we're going to maintain our integrity before God, we need to allow God to search our hearts by his Spirit and through his word every day, so that we can have all our false motives cleansed and keep our hearts aright with God. Psalm 139 verse 23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That needs to be our prayer every day, that God would search our hearts, that God would purge out anything that's not of him, and that he'd cleanse us daily. You know, we don't even know our own hearts. We can be blind to our own flaws and faults and failings, and that's why we need God's Spirit to convict us and to highlight those things in us that still need to change. Anybody perfect here this morning? Anybody doesn't need to change? If we're going to maintain our righteousness and integrity, we have to continually abide in Christ. Let him continually change us, transform us, and cleanse us. You know, repentance isn't just a one-off act that we perform when we first get saved, but it's a lifelong process. We need to continue in repentance in our lives, unless, you, of course, you're already perfect and never get it wrong. But we need to keep our hearts clean before God. A clean heart leads to clean motives, which leads to right actions and decisions that are righteous. The Bible tells us to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of them flow the issues of life. It's vital that we guard our hearts. As we were saying last week, it's the first place we get attacked in, isn't it? In our hearts and minds. It's in the heart where all of life's issues are decided. And that's why we need God on the throne of our hearts and not ourselves and sin. Only then we can have integrity. When God rules our hearts, where everything we say, everything we think, everything we do is submitted to Him. Thirdly, there is a cost to integrity. You know, doing what is right will always cost us something. Self has to be sacrificed if we're going to serve God. It's always easier to compromise. It's always easier to make short-term gain. It's always easier for us to do what we ought not to do. Keeping integrity may cost us everything, even your life. It may cost you your time, your money, your career, your promotion, your pleasures, your plans, your dreams, your possessions, your reputation, your influence, your friends and family. It may cost you your pride. But if we're going to serve God, then we have to be willing to pay whatever the price is, because integrity is priceless in God's eyes, and God honours it. Finally this morning, integrity will keep us safe. Proverbs 11 verse 3 says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them." And Psalm 27 verse 21 says, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me." God honours men and women of integrity. There's a reward for righteousness. God will keep and hedge in the righteous. They'll be preserved and kept safe. Yes, there will be troubles in this life. Yes, there will be trials and difficulties and persecutions. We will be tested. But if our hearts are right, God will keep us and guide us and be with us through it all. Of course, there's always the easy path of short-term gain, of convenience, of pleasure and profit. There is prosperity in wickedness. But at least in the short term anyway. But Proverbs 16 verse 8 tells us, "Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right." So much for health, wealth and prosperity, eh? Better with it is a little with righteousness. Righteousness is the key thing. We may not see our rewards in this life, but God is faithful, is he not? God keeps good records and accounts. So let's be a people of integrity and serve our God. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Amen. I'm just going to have a time of worship again now. And if you need prayer this morning, or you've got any needs that you want us to pray for, please come forward and let's believe God. Amen.